Hello, shining stars. I am Farah Mack, a.k.a. Katrina Marshall.
Alan Fletcher here, a.k.a. Dr. Carl Kennedy from Neighbours.
It's Riley Bryant, a.k.a. JJ.
Hi, I'm Eva Seymour, and I play Jules Halliday.
G'day, guys. I'm Costa D'Angelo. I play Eden on Neighbours. Eden is not a good egg, but this podcast is a good podcast.
The Neighbourhood Rewatch Podcast.
Welcome to the Neighbourhood Rewatch Podcast, the award-winning podcast that is sometimes about Neighbours. I am your host of Sarch JK, and today I have with me my new co-host, Marissa Stilitano, aka...
Hi.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, I cut off your right there. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. You were talking too slow.
I'm glad instantly that you've started criticising me. It feels like nothing has changed.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's fine. I've been listening, you know, the past few months, and I've been jotting down a lot of notes for you. So,
yeah. Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, pretty much. Is that the name of the podcast?
It could be. I could do what I want now. Adam's not here.
Yeah, well, the world's your oyster. I feel like he's the bossy one around here.
I feel like you might take that role over quite quickly.
Yes, definitely.
would you say you're a control freak?
Mm-hmm, 100%. Yes, definitely. I think because you can't control anything in life, so what I can control makes me feel at peace.
what do you control? What do you feel like you've got control of in your life?
Nothing. My life is just a spiral of chaos. That's why I like obsessively clean. That's my control. I have control of how many times I can vacuum in a week.
And how many times have you vacuumed this week?
Probably 4 out of the 6 days. What day is it?
It's Friday today.
Yeah, sometimes I'll vacuum twice a day if it needs it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you like all carpet? Like,
nah, we've got tiles, like floorboards and carpet. But I do have 2 young children who are eating crumbs all day.
Yeah, just constantly eating and dropping crumbs.
Yeah, so my dinner's on the floor and I just eat whatever's left on there and then vacuum the rest up.
I actually did vacuum yesterday. Speaking of vacuum news, I had someone coming around for a visit, so I was like, oh, I better vacuum
clean
around.
It up.
Yeah, I did a bit of light dusting, a bit of vacuum cleaning.
Yeah.
Bit of air freshener around just in case I stink.
Well, that's good. You know, you never see anyone clean on Neighbours. It's like no one's vacuuming.
Oh, I think Therese does actually. I think that's like her one.
I saw it once when I've been watching because she thought that was her way to make Carl accept her.
Really?
I thought
it was a sign of stress.
Was it last week or the week before? And then she accidentally ruined his records. You know, the records of every record they played while they conceived all their children.
Oh, no, that was Mel. Yeah. She was trying to suck up to Carl because she shagged
Odie. Mel? Okay, yeah. That's how memorable the characters are.
No, I think Todi gets them mixed up as well.
That's true. We're off to a good start.
Yeah, I think Therese like stress cleans, which is definitely what I do as well. I think if I'm feeling a little bit anxious, I'll have a little bit of a clean up.
Does she live on Ramsey Street?
Well, Therese. Well, yeah, the house that her and Todi had with the kids is Therese's house.
So
when Todi shagged Mel, she was like, well, I'll get off and you can just live in my house for a bit.
I just see her in the car and at the pub or at the restaurant or wherever.
So she stayed at the hotel for a bit.
But
yeah, obviously that's not a sustainable situation.
It's expensive. In this current economy, especially in Australia, I mean, who's affording to stay in a hotel?
Well, I think Paul had comped it, to be fair.
He's comping for everyone.
Yes.
Is Chelsea paying or has she got a room for free?
She's got a room for free.
Wow, look at her go.
I know. Well done. Because her sister kicked her out. This is a nice little recap of like the last couple of weeks that we've missed.
Yeah. Wait, her lesbian sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they kicked her out.
She was with them.
Yeah, she's when she rocked up, she was living there, but she doesn't get on with Remy. Like, they're proper, like, sniping at each other all the time.
Remy's the partner of the lesbian. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
He was also a lesbian as well, because that's how that works.
Really? What? Is that how lesbians work?
I've seen a couple of videos online.
Oh, you'll have to send me some links.
I will do. So, yes, this is the award-winning podcast that is sometimes about Neighbours.
With that material?
This is probably some of the highlights, to be honest.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. 5 minutes in and we're already doing highlights.
What we do is we watch Neighbours. I was going to say, even though we have mainly talked about Baby Reindeer this week, it'll be nice to talk about a different show with you this week.
Yes, yes. Great, great show, though. Could do a podcast on that.
Yeah, we could. We should. Actually, no. I don't think anybody needs to relive that.
Richard Gadd definitely wanted to.
Oh, that's crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? That I couldn't believe that when you told me that. It was the same guy.
Could you imagine that storyline on Neighbours? Like, who would be the characters that would be portraying these people? You know what I mean? Who would be Martha?
I don't know. You could say Haz. Because he seems to be a bit of a glutton for punishment. Like, he likes to feel sorry for himself. He obviously likes to try and punish himself.
Yeah. Is he Martha or is he Richard?
No, he's Richard.
Oh, okay.
Mel is definitely Martha. That's...
Oh, yeah, that's true. She's got those... She has those qualities.
Yeah, definitely.
God bless her.
Yeah, but if you've got no Neighbours to watch this weekend, so stick on Baby Reindeer. It's a nice contrast from the wholesome Australian soap opera that you have been watching this week.
Yeah,
it balances out quite nicely. Or maybe not, because there is some pretty risque storylines in Neighbours this week, which we'll get into.
But you know what? It's got a lot of similarities to Neighbours. It's got lesbians and the other ones and stalkers. So it's got everything in it.
Yeah, lots of parallels. So before we do get to the Neighbours, and while Marissa has a little chuckle to herself.
Yep.
We've got some admin. There are some admin fans out there. Some people do love the admin part of the show and stick around just for the admin.
This is the part where they control, is it? Where they feel the best about themselves.
They maybe feel like if there's some administration going on, then everything's all right in the world. So
yeah, makes sense.
So first off, Patreons. We have picked up quite a few new Patreons since Adam's disappearance. FYI, I do need to ask you about Adam's disappearance, by the way, but we'll get to that, don't worry.
Who's Adam?
So over the last couple of weeks, we have picked up Gavin Broom, Nick, Soap Addict 91, Anthony Cini, Menil, and Alexander Appleby.
Wow.
Thank you very much for supporting the podcast. £1 a month. It's not much, is it?
What's that $2? In Australian?
Yeah, $2, I'd say.
What, $2 a month? Laughing.
Yeah, bargain. Yeah. Riley Bryant, who plays JJ, has done us a nice little Patreon advert as well, which you might hear towards the end of this podcast as the music out plays. He's a great salesman. He really sells it for us. Great guy. Yeah. So £1 a month or $2 gets you early access to this podcast. It gets you the video of this. So you get to see Marissa's glasses.
Yep.
And her long, long hair before she decides she's going to just cut it for no reason again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll chronicle it. The meltdown, the many meltdowns.
And you also get, this is something I've only just kind of got into as well. There's like a little group chat on the Patreon as well. There's like a little community group chat.
Oh, what?
And what happened, especially after Adam's disappearance, is that everyone just kind of started talking to themselves on there and chatting about Neighbours and chatting about other stuff.
Oh, my God.
And it's really cool. So if you want to meet some like-minded people and chat about Neighbours and other stuff, that's where you can go. £1 a month will get you that access.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a nice little community.
That's cute. I'm
really proud of it.
It's interesting to me that you got more followers when Adam left. I've got mugged, I've got kidnapped, I've got baby reindeered, whatever happened to him. You've gotten more followers since he's left.
That is an interesting theory.
The Venn diagram, the spike map, whatever it's called, the chart of flows and ebbs is interesting.
Could you make a Venn diagram for me? Of that, yep, are you good with stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you like good at presentations and stuff?
Fantastic at them. For an extra pound, you can buy the Venn diagram.
Wow. What a bargain.
Yeah. For an extra pound a month, you can buy the Venn diagram.
So let's speak about Adam. Currently missing. I am the lead investigator in this, by the way. Yeah.
Have you called the cops?
No, I just rang Andy Rodwell on his mobile.
And what did he say?
He was like, there's someone shitting everywhere at the minute, mate. So I'll get back to you.
I've got no time for this shit.
I've got actual shit to deal with.
Yeah.
So I suppose I should ask you really where you were on the night that Adam went missing.
What night was that?
A while back now. I can't quite remember.
Yeah. I would have been in Australia, I guess.
You would have done, wouldn't you?
Was he kidnapped in England?
Yes, he was kidnapped in England, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, could have done a quick trip.
That is a pretty solid alibi, to be fair. You were in Australia. Yeah. But then again, I have seen people going around saying they're summer Highland and they don't look like you. So they could be
like me. This is the thing here.
So there could be an impersonator out there as well.
So who's your suspects? Who's on the suspect list? Me.
Everybody except me is a suspect.
I was going to say, well, where were you?
I just have been having ice creams with them, and then we walked off.
And then?
So.
And which direction did you go in?
I went home.
And which direction did he go in?
The other way from home.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like how you've done this. You've turned the investigation around on me.
What kind of ice cream did you eat?
Oh, fucking hell. It was vanilla ice cream with a flake and some strawberry sauce.
And what?
I wanted sprinkles, but they didn't have any.
What ice cream did he eat?
The same, because he also wanted sprinkles, but they didn't have any.
And did you finish eating ice cream before you both left each other?
No, I was mid-ice cream.
Mid-ice cream, you walked off mid-ice cream.
Yeah, I hadn't bitten into the flake yet either.
Was there any, like, ice cream particles near the place that he was kidnapped?
There was, well, I've seen on the video that it was in a cone, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like ice cream in a tub. That's a
waffle or waffle cone?
Just
or
a regular cone. I'm not made of money. Yeah, I'm not paying for the waffle cones or the chocolate ones.
Yeah.
It's like an extra £2. It's more than the Patreon.
Well, yeah, it is, isn't it? And you can't get that every month. Like it's a one-off pay for something that's going to go.
Exactly. Whereas you will get this every week, every month you'll get this.
Amazing. I love it.
So yeah, Adam is still missing. Okay. Well, I'll put you in the maybe pile then. Yeah, it is a little bit concerning, isn't it, really? I thought I would have heard from them from now.
What are the what are the Patreoners think?
A lot of people are pointing the finger at me.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I feel like you're the only person he knows, like, that you're friends with, that he sees.
Yeah, so. And it is usually as well somebody who's close to you when these things happen. It's always somebody known to them, isn't it?
It's always the husband or the boyfriend.
Yeah. And me and Adam kind of have that relationship, so
it's work husband.
Yes, work husband, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely you're number one on my list.
Okay, so you're starting off your own investigation.
Yeah, followed by Martha. Are you anywhere near the Camden pub?
I mean, I'm nearer than you, but
than you.
Yeah, I'm nearer to the Camden pub than you are.
Yeah. So wait, so you're near that actual pub than you?
No. Well, like a 3-hour journey.
Okay. It's doable.
It's doable in a night, isn't it?
It is. It is. People have done more.
Okay, let's talk about some neighbors. Let's cut this investigation short.
All right, let's go.
Let's go. First storyline I wanted to talk about was the Erinsborough shit storyline.
Yeah, I feel like whenever they bring a storyline like this into anything, whether it be TV or radio or just anything, it's always like they've just got nothing else. So, like, they've said to Carl, or like whatever his name is in real life, like, we have nothing for you, but you still need to be on the show because we don't have a lot of cast and we're literally just watching the same people every freaking episode. So they're like, we're good. This is just what we've got for you. You're just going to take shits in everybody's yards.
Well, that's what everybody thinks. Everybody thinks he is the Erinsborough shitter.
Well, I mean, we've seen him squat and what, twice or three times?
Well, he's purposely drinking the kale
before, knowing that it's going right through him. Because well, that chick that he lives with was like, no, I'm not having that because it goes straight through me.
it goes straight through. Kale is the worst.
I don't have it.
No, I think Peyton said we were going to have it 1 week and I was like, no.
Yeah, I think I might have like put it in like a minestrone or a soup or something one time, like just to, because I was like, oh, it's kale, let's like get it in. And I was like, it's not worth it. I'm here to have a good time.
I'd rather be here for a good time than a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's a kale going to do really in the big scheme of things?
So yeah, everybody does think Carly's the Erinsborough shitter because...
And it's because of Mel.
It is because of Mel, because Mel was talking to it with Wendy at the pub and someone's overheard it and then they've defaced Carl's sign that he's very proud of for the Irene Rising.
Yes, that's right. And so then midway through him confronting Mel about being the shitter, Susan rocks up and hears it.
Yes. It was really good to see Susan back. She's been gone for so long. We're not quite sure why. Some theories online is that she's had a bit of an illness, a bit of a laryngitis kind of thing, quite serious.
Boring.
Because she sounds...
But she sounds like Madge now, does she?
She is, did sound a little bit croaky. I like that in a woman, though. I like a...
Husky voice.
Deep kind of growl. Yeah, a deep husky voice, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I was a bit worried when she wasn't on the show for like the last 2 weeks that I've been watching also, because I was like, oh, that's like kind of a long holiday. And she just kept extending her mysterious trip that she was on.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of, oh, I'm just going to stay here a little bit longer. And then they kind of touched on it. Carl's like, oh, well, maybe just Susan's having loads of fun, doesn't need me anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt like maybe that's the way the storyline was going, but then she just came back and then everything seemed to be fine.
And that triggered his need to kind of find some sort of purpose in life, i.e. shitting in people's yards.
Well, not shitting in people's yards, but just stealing lemons instead because they're a massive cost, apparently.
Are they? And
I don't know. I don't, I've always, like...
Everybody has lemon trees in Australia.
Do they?
And if you don't, your neighbour does. That's hanging over your back fence and that's where you're getting your lemons from.
Okay, so nobody has to ever buy lemons in Australia.
I mean, I never have.
Wow.
Never. I've got a back, my back door neighbor has a tree that hangs over our house, so I just climb the fence and get this.
Is your neighbor okay with this?
They don't know. I mean, I don't know if they
this
know.
This sounds like a neighbor storyline in itself.
Yeah, I've never met them. I've never spoken to them. I don't know them.
And you just take their lemons.
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming over my back fence, it's my property.
Yeah, I mean, possession is 9/10 of the law, isn't it? Could you not, exactly. As a nice neighborly gesture, would you like bake them like a lemon meringue pie, maybe?
No, I don't even have time to bake myself a lemon meringue pie. Why the fuck am I baking someone I don't even know a pie?
because you've had a lifetime of free lemons from this neighbor.
Well, not a lifetime. I mean, only the last 2.5 years. Previous to that, I was getting them from my grandfather, who had a lemon tree at the front of his house. Rest in peace.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh. Well, I mean, your children have only ever known free lemons, so do it for them.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. What am I going to imagine when they go to the shops and they're like, you're buying them?
What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. But saying that, people buy fucking bottled water, so.
Yeah, we do.
Do you? Oh. Why? It's because I'm a fucking tap.
Oh, yeah, I know. I drink a lot of tap water, but my husband doesn't like he doesn't like tap water. But a lot of people in like some parts of Geelong, they're like, oh, our tap water tastes funny, so we just buy bottled water.
Does it taste funny?
I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't know. I'm not very picky.
Just water.
I've got a poor mouth. So, you know.
You've
so,
got a poor mouth.
So it doesn't care.
All you can taste is just citric acid all the time, yeah, anyway.
Okay, whatever. I'm eating four lemons.
Oh, dear. Right. Where the fuck were we? So, yeah, Susan's back.
Yep.
Just as Carly's confronting Mel about being there as a shitter. Yep. And she's like, okay, this is an interesting thing I've walked back to. Mm. And she kind of makes Carl feel all better about himself.
Yes, yes.
But then Therese comes along and's like, right, I need a manager for this school/old people's home. First, world's first. What about you? And Susan's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But I would be Carl's boss, so I better ask him if he's all right about this. But then she, because Carl is potentially regressing into a child at this point, she puts off asking him about it. She makes excuses not to. And Carl's a bit preoccupied with the whole poo investigation as well, because he's determined to clear his name.
It's interesting that like Susan's not been around for weeks and then she just rocks up and gets offered this like top tier job.
Like, yeah, it is like a top tier job as well. Like
on top.
Everyone's just like, fuck me, that's a decent salary. Like,
yes. And then meanwhile, like Carl's like he's working as the face of it and as a doctor, just trying to make ends meet. Susan just fucking rocks up after 3 weeks of doing nothing. And she's like, oh yeah, just top dog. Just top doggy.
Yeah, like Carl's like doing experiments on himself because he's trying to come up with this healthy diet for all the old people.
Yes, and the bloody Spanx when he was trying to do that photo shoot. I was this poor man.
I liked where it was going at first. Like, as you get older, you do get more conscious of your body and how you look, and I thought they were maybe going to go down that route and it'd be quite touching, but they've just solidly just gone for shit jokes constantly.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we've gone on this story arc of he's almost about to like go through like a, you know, a late life crisis about body image, because that's really on point. Everyone's got Botox, everybody's looking very puffy at the moment everywhere in the world, so it would have been like kind of on trend to make him go through that, and then like, you know what, fuck that. Curveball, he's just gonna take shits in people's yards and that's making him feel young.
Did you we did discuss over the message about outdoor pooing. Did you want to share any outdoor pooing stories while we're on the subject?
I mean, look, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people, especially in Australia. Camping, you're going to be doing it all the time, potentially. One time I'd come home from school and I walked home from the bus. So I'm not sure how old I would have been. It was high school, probably early high school. And I forgot my house keys. And so that just happened in the backyard.
So I've got a story as well. And my primary concern when pooing outdoors is the wiping situation.
Yeah.
Everyone just says grab leaves, but do you grab leaves in that night?
No, I mean, you should always carry a packet of tissues with you anyway, regardless.
That is a good tip.
Yeah. Just not tip. Not for that, not for the sake of in case of shitting, but just more so because you never know when you're going to need to blow your nose or, you know, something.
True. True. So my I got caught short. I must have been, what, 15, 16? And I was out with a friend and we just went walking. Like, it was like a nice big golf course near us and like a big country kind of bit. So we just, you know, it was the summer. You've got nothing else to do. So we just kind of went walking. And then like halfway through, I was like, oh, fuck, I need to go here. And then so I was like, we need to start heading back. So we started heading back. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to make it. This is coming. So run off into a bush. Off into a bush and did it. But then I was like, shit, what do I wipe with? And I was like, I couldn't see any leaves around. And I was like, I'm gonna have to sacrifice my underwear as the vessel.
That's a good idea.
So I was like, right, that's all right. I'll sacrifice that. It's no problem. I'm still wearing some tracksuit pants. No problem at all. And yeah, that was great until I got home. And then my mum was like, right, I'm putting a wash on. Get those pants off. Should I take them off for me? No, she wanted to put a wash on, but like she was very like, she's not putting on a half wash. You might as well wash them. So she's like, right, you've been out. Put those pants, take those pants off and I can put them in the wash and I can put a wash on now.
Yep, to have a shower, PJs on. Let's
yeah,
do it.
Pretty much.
Get these baskets, she's like, come empty.
On. Yeah. And then she's like, come on, give me the pants. And I'm like, I'll go take them off in a moment. She's like, no, just give them me now. Like, like you're right next to the washing machine. Give me the pants. I'm like, I don't want to, Mum.
Mum, I'm free balling.
And then I took them off, and then she, bless her, she didn't say a fucking thing.
Oh, really? She was good on her.
She just went, okay, no Thanks. Problem. That's let's happened. These, I don't want to ask these, about it.
Let's get these fuckers washed.
I'm not going to ask about it. He clearly doesn't want to tell me about it, so I'm not going to ask him.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Yeah, and I just toddled off to the bathroom with just a t-shirt and some socks on.
Oh, that's so toddler-esque of you.
I know. I stress, I was probably 15 or 16. So
yeah, that's vulnerable for you at that time to be walking around kind of balls hanging loose in the wind.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit colder, so I'm
yeah,
more shriveled.
Yeah, but also hanging. They weren't hanging anywhere.
I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Oh dear. So Jesus Christ, where were we? Yeah, so Carl's giving this speech at Irene Ryzen about his grand. He's getting heckled by Shaky Joe in the crowd.
Yep.
By all these oldies. And Therese just sends him home. She's like, listen, I can't let this continue. This is stupid. You just need to go home. So he's feeling pretty vulnerable. And then Susan's hiding this whole job offer from him. But he finds it and he sees it and he calls Susan out on it. And I liked the drama here because Carl was feeling vulnerable for all the stupid stuff that's going on. Susan's keeping stuff from him. There was plenty of scope for tension, and then straight away just Carl goes, it's a great offer, take it, it's fucking loads of money.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah, and it just kind of killed the tension there and then, really.
Do you know what though, I feel like he never has any leg to stand on to be angry at anything Susan ever does because of what yeah, he did to her, and the fact that this child is literally looking at her every day living in their house as a reminder of what he did. So, yeah, like, he's fucking try it, mate. That's what I would say. That's what I would say. Just try. Just try it. Just try it.
See where it gets you.
Yeah. Do you want to bring it up? I will. I don't care.
Are you someone who would have arguments in the, like, hypothetical arguments in the shower just to be ready if that argument ever came?
Are you, like, watching me? That is my nightly routine. This is my nightly routine. I will be during the day and I'll be like, I cannot wait to do this tonight in the shower and recap. But always too, like, I don't know, like, I'm sure a lot of people do that sort of stuff. It could be in the car, in the shower, or like just when you're doing something by yourself, like, you know, cleaning or at home, whatever. Mm-hmm. But my brother and I, we always have this thing, like, where we have the argument and then like people are drawn to it, so they're coming to watch you own this person, and then at the end of the argument you spit on them and you walk away and everyone's like, fuck yeah, like you did it. And because we're like, spitting is like the most disgusting thing you could do to a person. It's like the lowest form of anything.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's the most disrespectful thing you could do. And so, yeah, like, so in the shower, like you do, like that's the last thing you do when you just completely own this person in the argument and everyone's around you and they're like, yes, you fucking showed them. And then it's so therapeutic. So yeah, or sometimes I imagine, yeah, like arguments that I'm gonna have it in a few days maybe, and I'm working on it.
So you're always ready to go at any point.
I'm always ready for confrontation. Just call me, I'm ready. I've got every scenario rehearsed.
Now I know why you and Adam got on so well.
Do you think he the type that does that too, do you think?
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah.
Yeah. Are you, or are you the one sobbing in the shower?
No, but I always kind of back myself to, you know, if it needs to be, I'll fight dirty, I'll talk dirty, you know,
do it.
I'll come down with something withering enough.
Yeah. Shower sobs are also great. And car sobs.
Car sobs, shower sobs.
Yeah. And shower fights.
All very therapeutic. Maybe Carl can enroll this into his Irene Rising.
No shitting in the shower though. It's not.
No.
No. Or in the car. No way.
Right, we shall move on from Carl and his ways. Let's talk about some other people who are saying it's therapeutic, but probably damaging. Aaron and Krista.
Yes, I was a bit disappointed.
What were you doing? But with both of them?
Yes.
With one of them?
Yeah, more so Krista. Like, she's come so far and now she's just, you know, she's kind of put herself into this place where she's kind of reassured herself that she can handle one or two pops or one or two shots or, you know, whatever. And she's just slowly spiraling now. She's going to completely ruin her relationship with that half Asian guy. She's going to completely stuff up her job. And, like, you know, what for? Like, I mean, obviously she's gone through something really that was so traumatic to watch on TV.
Yeah, that was...
You know, she's got that bitch Chelsea, like, just hanging drugs in front of her, like, to try and fuck her up.
Yeah, Chelsea didn't... She barely needed to do anything either as well. She just went, oh, I'm just going to leave some drugs in her jaw.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And it just worked. Chelsea was like, I think Chelsea was like, fuck, I didn't think it worked that well.
Yes. And then, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like she's super vulnerable and she just doesn't have the good people around her. And then, like, you know, is that the gay guy's her brother? Yeah.
No. So Aaron, so Krista was. So Aaron's husband, David, died.
The one that's dead. Yes.
Yes. He was her, like, sober sponsor.
Okay. Okay.
So they were pretty close.
Okay. So, I was disappointed in him that he wasn't more, obviously he found the pills, so then he was, like, concerned.
Yeah.
But when she's like, oh, we'll just have, like, a few shots because we need them because we're both, like, ugh. And I was like, he's not, like, come on. Wouldn't he be like, hey, let's have a team here.
That was the thing that really surprised me. It was just like, so they have a couple of drinks together and talk about stuff. And like you can see Aaron's like, are you sure you want to do this? She's like, yeah, it's just a couple of shots. Don't worry. And he's like, okay, like, I'm just not going to let this get out of hand, whatever. And then they go to the little summer house that they were at.
Mm.
And then he finds the pills and you're thinking, oh, okay, you know, he's going to big brother her now and give her a good talking to. And he's going to pull from the brink. Literally next scene they're on the fucking bar dancing like this. Yay! Yeah. Fucking shots.
Yes. Or like he should have told you know, what's her boyfriend's name? Leo. Yeah. Like, or he should have messaged him and called him and been like, hey, like FYI, bitch is on drugs again.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I liked that it didn't go that way. I like, because Neighbours can be fairly predictable sometimes, and you can kind of telegraph where it's going. So when it just goes, nah, going this way instead, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, and that's
love
true.
The fact that, yeah, the next scene, they were just fucking partying and going hard.
And having a good... Maybe she just needs a little bit of an outlet, blow off some steam, get fucked up, then pull yourself back together.
Maybe. I don't know. I get the feeling this is... I get the feeling this is going to go further, though, because it's like... It's like a dirty little secret that they've got because they're staying behind work. They're making up lies. Like, they fucking slept there.
Mm.
And then they're making up lies to Wendy the next morning about why the place isn't a state. And Wendy's too oblivious to really know what's going on.
Yeah. I think it's going to spiral into complete. She's just going to turn back into. And then she's probably going to leave. Her character's going to leave. She's going to go to like a rehab or something. She's going to get booted.
Yeah, maybe. A little rehab for a little proper rehab. Because the rehab she had was rubbish. Like, David was a sober sponsor, but they basically just locked her in the hotel room and went, don't do any drugs. I'll come by tomorrow to see if you've done any drugs.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And then just like get pregnant and use that as your cause to not do any drugs.
Yeah, that was the thing as well. She was using the baby as a... You know, that was her reason to get clean and to forget about her past life. And then now she doesn't have that. I can understand why she feels like, fuck.
100%. What so now? Traumatic.
Yeah. And then obviously Aaron's not been in a good place for a while.
No.
Like, he's really struggled.
He's strange. It's like he's got every storyline is like him with himself. Like it's about, like he's not really, I feel like he doesn't have. He's not really have meaningful connections with anybody. He's always kind of like off on his own, alone. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's like a loose end.
Yeah, a little bit, because he was so intrinsically linked to David, and them two were so vital to each other's beings. And
yeah, now he's just kind of like, I don't know. He's nothing to me.
Nothing.
Yeah, he's nothing to me. I feel like the last 2 weeks that I've watched, I'm just watching the same people every night. Like, I feel like there's not a big cast.
Yeah, I don't think there is, which is when surprising when then Susan takes 3 months off.
Yeah, like it's literally the cop and his family, the lesbians. Yeah. Like that's who I'm seeing, and then like Krista, like that's who I'm seeing all the time.
Yeah, and then they have these guest stars coming in just because they need to put someone new in it. So there's like,
And then they've got that guy with the Mac, you know, eating croissants at the train, that random guy And I'm feeling like that storyline's going to go somewhere else. She's going to end up with that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like there's some flirting going on there.
A little bit. And I think
the croissant,
we'll get to that. We'll get.
Okay.
Yeah. But don't ruin that. I've got an order here, Marissa. Come on.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I mean, I've pretty much talked about Aaron and Krista there, haven't they? They're just, I think that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It's going to get worse, and then they're both going to get out of here.
Because they're both saying to each other, oh, let's not let that happen again. And then it's going to happen again. And I think that's the real sign of a problem. You tell yourself you're not going to do something, but then do it anyway. What's going to
happen? She's going to get pregnant with his baby.
You think?
Yeah.
See, there was some rumblings online about this. I'm like, oh, is there like a romance there? And I was like, I don't think so. I think they're just kind of trauma bonded almost.
Exactly. And that's when it happens. What's that syndrome called? You know that syndrome.
What, Stockholm syndrome?
No, well, I mean,
no, that's really when you get captured, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, like when you've gone through like a traumatic time with someone and then you just fall in love with them because of that.
I don't know what that syndrome is.
It's a syndrome.
Okay, Carl would know.
He would, but he's not here right now. He's too busy shitting.
No, I honestly, I don't see any sort of connection that way. I think they are just... They're two people who've kind of got a dirty little secret together, and that is their dirty little secret, is the drinking. It's not anything else going on.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron has been solidly gay since he came on the show, and I don't think they've ever...
Yeah, but he might like, be bisexual. Wavered any other way. That's a thing.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, like, I know sexuality's on a scale.
There's no such thing as any sexuality now, you know? You could just do whatever you want.
Is that permission?
I mean, for Aaron, it is, whatever that guy's name is. But yeah, I definitely got like, yeah, I got flirty, like not flirty vibes, but I got like, yeah, vibes that something's gonna happen. She's gonna stuff everything up. Paul's gonna be like, get out of here, mate.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to not sing this little light of mine. He's not going to let it shine.
Yeah, I think you're right with Paul, because he hated it, because he hated Misha Barton. And because she's Misha Barton's sister, he hated her at first. But then obviously they, with all the terrible stuff that happened, they kind of bonded and he saw
a different
side of
her. Krista is Misha Barton's sister.
Yes, not in real life, in the show.
Yeah, no shit. Wait, so did Misha Barton have an Australian accent?
No, she was solidly American.
So how were they sisters?
Apparently their dad has got like a different kid on different continents.
Jeez.
Yeah, so they've got the same dad, but different mothers.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But yeah, the whole Krista got revealed as because it turned out Misha Barton was there because she was looking for a sister who'd been missing and was a drug addict. So that's how she kind of got revealed into the show.
Makes sense.
They found her in a drugs den, and then literally 2 weeks later, they're like, right, she's fine now. She's off the drugs.
Yeah, but she's a high corporate executive at Lassiter's Hotel.
Yeah, because then Misha Barton was like, well, my contract's up, so I'm off now. See you later. And Krista's like, oh, I'll do what she was doing. And Paul's like, she was doing nothing. And she's like, well, my family owns half the hotel, so... Because that's how she's kind of walked herself into this job.
Okay.
Because when Paul and Therese split up. We've not talked about Therese's wet dream, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, this might be a good time to do that, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, Paul and Therese were meant to renew their vows like a year ago. But then Mel thought she'd killed Krista. And Paul helped cover it up. And that's why he called off the wedding.
Jesus.
And in that divorce, Therese sold her stakes in Lassiter's to this family, the Sinclair family.
Makes sense.
But yeah, then Therese is having dreams about Paul where he's admitting it.
They're going to get back together.
I think, yeah.
Chelsea's going to get pregnant with that albino guy that she's been seeing.
Oh, with clearly Jeff Bezos.
Yes, she's going to get pregnant with him accidentally. Or she's going to just try it with him and then say that it's Paul's baby. Paul's going to want to get back with that with big boobs. But then it's going to stuff it up because then Chelsea's going to come out and say, but Paul, I'm having your baby. And then he's going to be like, oh my God. And then the baby's going to come out. It's going to be albino like that guy. And then.
See, I think it's going to be more of a, because she keeps literally she'll shag Paul and then take a test straight away. And she'll go, fuck's sake, I'm not pregnant.
But no, she won't even. I don't think he's put out to her for a long time.
No, he hasn't. He's kind of bored of her now, to be honest. I think
he's barring her every chance that he gets. So I feel like, yeah, he's going to be like, but we never, she's going to pretend the due date is like, she's going to do the calculations to be like the last time that they've, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to trick him into thinking that it's his, hers, whatever. And the baby's going to come out. It's going to come out albino. He's going to be like, what the fuck? And then all shit's going to break loose.
See, I don't think he's going to go that far. I think it's going to be something like she's going to go, I'm pregnant. And he's going to go, well, that's funny because I had a snip 2 years ago.
That's also very good.
I think that's why she's not falling because he's got fucking like 6 or 7 kids now, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a lot of kids. One of them was a psycho and murdered everyone. So he's probably had enough kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he just goes and gets the snip one day. And then
Krista might do something to Chelsea because she'll be jealous of the fact that she's having a baby because after, obviously, it's going to come out that Chelsea was the one that caused the miscarriage. And then Krista's going to get high on drugs and she's going to go and do something to fuck Chelsea up.
Yeah, a bit of sweet, sweet revenge.
Yes. You know, yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, as Jojo Siwa says, calm as a bitch.
Wow, I didn't think we'd be getting quotes off you today, Marissa.
Yeah, I'm really profound. So
So yeah, I'm actually, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, I'm fucking sick of Therese and Paul, but I like them together. I think they're a good match. They've got good chemistry. Like, you see it with Toby, and they've got no chemistry.
They're not in any sort of same league. Like, they're different ages. They're just different. Like, she looks like a really cool, independent, successful woman. You know, no BS. Like, I feel like she just needs someone to match her.
Yeah, she is. Like, they are each other's match as well. Mm. I think that's the thing I like about their chemistry. They're each other's match. And then anybody else Paul gets with just seems less than Therese.
Yes.
Like, Chelsea is just less than Therese.
Yeah, Chelsea's just like a, I don't know, she's gross. I don't like her character.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great villain. Great villain.
Yeah, fantastic villain. And that's when you know they're doing a good job, when you hate them.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? She's doing a good job at acting it, because I'm feeling things when I'm watching her, being like, I don't like her.
That's the thing, you're getting a reaction, you're doing it well.
100%. Yeah, she's good. I'm interested to see what happens to her, though, because I feel like, if she's kind of not with Paul in that sort of circle of triangle, then she might not have much else on the show.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see, do you like in Game of Thrones where they have that like kind of Cersei walk of shame thing, like where she just has to pay for everything she's done.
Never seen it.
So Cersei's just a horrible, horrible character, and then about six seasons in, she has to pay for all the horrible things she's done, and she literally does this walk of shame.
Yeah,
you would have seen the memes, like, and she's walking down, there's someone with the bell going, shame, shame, shame.
Although it's so. The guy that had the IT report,
yeah,
he said that Chelsea's name is the one that said to cut off the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
So she's essentially the cause of Krista's thing. So that's eventually going to come out, because that's the secret that they can't keep forever. So then something's going to have to happen to Chelsea. Either she goes to jail or something.
Yeah, I'd like that. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Just her having to pay for everything, whether that be getting put in jail, banished, you know, whatever it is, just her watching everything and everyone, like everyone around her, just like sister and everything, just going like, you're dead to me.
Yeah. So either she's going to like leave the show, or something.
Yeah, just an absolute, you know, outside Lassiter's, looking a mess, crying. Yeah. Ugly
maybe
crying.
In the same drug den they found Krista. That's where she ends up.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, where else you got to go from there?
Or she just ends up going and running away with albino guy.
Yeah, with Bezos.
Because
he does love her. He is in love with her. And he does feel a connection.
One touch is all it took. She's got magic.
Right, let's talk about the Vanga Murphys. So they go on a camping trip.
Is that the last camping name? Trip.
Yeah, the Vanga Murphys, yeah. Double barreled.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that camping trip. Did you not want a double? Or is it a hyphen last name?
I don't know. What's the difference? Double barrel hyphen? I don't know what the difference is.
It's got a hyphen in between the two names.
So
it's
like two. Okay. Yeah, I think it is a hyphen then, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I found that storyline really strange, to be honest. It like really kind of popped off out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Dex, so Dex has not had a storyline since he started in the show. He's just kind of been there to be kind of JJ's foil a little bit. And when JJ needs to interact with someone, that isn't his parent.
Is JJ the white chick's egg and Dex the black chick's egg?
I don't know if they've explicitly said that.
Okay. So, like, are they their actual, like, sons via sperm donation, or are they,
Yeah, so they're via sperm donation, yeah.
But it's their
but I think it's implied, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Kara is definitely the one who carried JJ, because there was the whole who's JJ's father thing, which turned out to be Andy's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dex has not had a storyline at all. He's just JJ's
So we don't even know where he come from.
Yeah, like JJ has had since the return, he's consistently had the biggest storylines, probably. Like, yep. The biggest kind of long-running storylines. They've put a lot of faith in him.
So they didn't get the same sperm donor for both of the kids?
No. They got different ones.
That's silly.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that...
They could have the same dad, at least. And then, like, each mother could have, like, use their egg.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe you want difference as well. I don't know. It's...
I mean, I guess. Yeah. I hope that they
They're on a camping trip to try and bond this family a little bit more after all the shit JJ's putting through. And Dex is just getting lots of shit from his parents for stuff. And he's just like, wait a minute, this guy fucking robbed a building site. This guy brought a fucking knife to school.
Yeah,
so he loses his shit. And rightly so as well. Rightly so. So he fucks off. Ends up back home. I mean, if you're going to fuck off, just don't go back home. What's the point?
Yeah, like, I thought that maybe he was going to go and then, like, fall down a cliff or something, and then that happened.
Yeah, because camping trips never go well in Neighbours. So no. I thought, oh, yeah, he's going to run into a snake or...
Yeah, something happens and then they have to find him, and then that's, you know, and then they come together as a family because they're worried about, you know, is he going to make it or where the fuck is he?
Yeah. But no, he just shows up on the street and Byron goes, you're right, mate. And he's, I've just fucked off from camping. And then, and then they talk it out, and Dex's point is pretty much, listen, I've not had a storyline yet, so I'd like one now, please.
Yeah, I've been good the whole time.
Yeah, please, can I have a storyline?
I wonder what they'll give him. Maybe they'll find him a girlfriend or something.
Maybe, because he's kind of... I think there's like 2-3 years, I think, between him and JJ. So he's in the lower end.
And he doesn't have anyone his age on the show, does he?
Toadie's daughter, Nell, is probably the same age, I'd say. So
never seen her.
Yeah, you never see Toadie's kids. Well, they're in Disneyland at the moment, but even when they're not in Disneyland, you never see those kids.
Yeah, never see them.
They're never about. So I think they've like hinted at friendship and stuff, so they could do something with that, maybe.
Did Toadie have other kids?
No, he's just got the two. So Nell is Sonia's kid, and then Hugo Sonia died. And then Hugo is Fake D's kid.
Oh, they had a kid together.
Yeah. Yeah, because he cheated on Sonia with Fake D. And then Hugo is the result of that.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, that's interesting. So, okay, yeah, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So Toadie's got form here. Toadie is not a good guy.
None of them are on that street. They're all bloody cheats, aren't they? They all justified, and then they all redeem themselves in some way or another and act the big, you know, act the self-righteous whatever. I feel like it's real life right now. Like, it's really triggering.
I reckon you're over the next week going to have arguments with every single male character on that show in the shower.
Yes. I might record them. I might record them, and you can that could be the podcast for the next 5 weeks. Shower fights with Marissa.
Right. Last storyline I want to talk about today.
Yep.
Is the whole hacker thing. It's a long sigh.
Yeah, just like it was good and then it wasn't.
Yeah, it became... It went the other way. It became predictable all of a sudden. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it was good because there was this mysterious, like, there was so much mystery of, like, who's doing this fake banana AI video of, you know, old mate, and, you know, who's kind of, yeah, like, there was just so much, like, it was good. It was a good storyline about, you know, hacking and kind of, you know, safety online and whatnot. And then it just, I don't know. Mac is really annoying. She's just always whinging. Like, she's just always fucking whinging. And
it's true.
She's just always got that like look in her face, and she's always just got something. And yeah, and they're an odd couple too. And then he
anyone was sold like that from the off, they were like, oh, these two really like each other. I don't think anybody was sold on it straight away.
I've literally never seen them touch.
Yeah, there's no affection, isn't there? There's more affection between Haz and Byron than there is Haz and Mackenzie.
Haz and his computer have more of a relationship.
Yeah, we all love that relationship.
Yeah, you don't want to touch that keyboard.
So, yeah, Haz wants to pause all the stress with Mackenzie. He's like, listen, I know you just found out I was a hacker and I did some really terrible things, but let's just try and be nice to each other and let's forget all about this tension. And Mackenzie's like, no, let's not do that. You can't just brush this off.
Mm.
And she is getting close with Wade, who is revealed to be the guy doing all this shit. But he's playing nice to Mackenzie. And you said earlier that you think there's...
Wait, is Wade the guy that she's hired as the private investigator?
No. So the dude shows up with the beard, the older looking dude that she's meeting for croissants and outside the train. Yes. He is someone that Haz and his mates attacked down the line and ruined his life. So Mackenzie, even though Haz said, give me a week to figure this out, and Mackenzie went, okay, I'll give you a week, she then just went off and did her own shit anyway and contacted this guy and found him.
Okay. And
so he played all innocent, like he'd lost everything and he's just trying to move on with his life.
Because then I was laughing at the guy that Haz called up to help him, one of his ex-workmates or whatever. And he was like full, like his face was like full injectable. Like I was, the only thing I could see when I was watching it, I was like, oh, like why does everybody look the same? Like why can't you just look like a normal person?
You're not a fan of Botox, are you?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, oh, like you just, everyone, it just looks the same. It doesn't look real. Like, you can't show emotion, you know? Are you happy? Are you sad? Like, what are you doing?
There was a lot of that with Misha Barton. There was just, she just pulled one face the entire time.
Yeah, like acting is about range and showing, you know, showing stuff. Like, how are you acting if you can't move your fucking face? Tell me. Yeah, I don't know. So I was just like, ugh. And they're just, I don't know, the acting is just so terrible. I think when you watch so much, like, just so much Netflix and just international stuff, you go back to watching this and you're just like, ugh, like, it's just so, like, bland and just, you know, you've remembered your lines and you're just reciting it. That's all you're fucking doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is that sometimes characters are just there because you're there today. So, and you, this other person needs someone to interact with.
Yes. And like, but I think they people who are good actors on that show, it's bad for them because then they've got it like it. They've got nothing to work with. They've got nothing to bounce off of because they've just people that are cardboard.
Yeah. But then I think on the flip side of that is that when they do get given their moment to really go for it, it really fucking stands out.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, wow, they've smashed that out of the park there. That they're really fucking good.
Yeah. Like Krista she's really good.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was fucking heartbreaking watching that.
I was triggered watching that.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't actually believe, I think I'm not sure if I messaged you or Adam, but I'm like, tell me they're fucking showing this. Like, you cannot be showing this on Neighbours. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, I can't watch this. Like, this was so, it was so much. It was so confronting. But she also did a really good job at it. Like, it didn't seem, I mean, some bits were unrealistic, but it didn't seem too that unrealistic that it was, that it almost kind of took the piss of something so serious.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the tone bang on with that.
Yeah, I think so. They did a really good job for something really kind of bad.
Yeah. So Wade is playing all innocent and like he's trying to help Mackenzie find this person, but he's not. He's revealed to be the one who's going to target her next.
And he's going to do something with her past, I'm sure of it.
So Mac's had enough of Haz, by the way. She's like, the fuck this, we're breaking up. You've said a week, it's been more than a week. we're not pausing any. We're not putting a pause or anything here. Just fuck this. We're done. And then Wade tells Mackenzie a lie that, and I was, again, like you said about the Krista stuff before, I was surprised they kind of said this on daytime TV. He was like, yeah, they deepfaked a video of me sexually assaulting someone and showed it my brother or something, or my best friend, who was my only friend left. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's fucked. So Mackenzie.
Scary.
Yeah, so Mackenzie goes back to Haz and goes, you're fucking disgusting. I can't believe you did this. And then, to be fair to Haz, I don't like Haz, but he just goes, wait a minute, no, I didn't. That did not happen. That's a lie. That did not fucking happen. I've admitted to everything else, and I might be a drip, and I might have gone around this all the wrong way, but that definitely did not happen. That's, but Mackenzie is just like, I don't fucking believe you. You're lying to me. You've lied about everything else. You're lying about this too. So Haz ends up meeting up with Wade, and that's where he kind of reveals his grand plan. That is, he's got some, he's manipulating Mackenzie's voice to make it sound like she is taking bribes from Therese about the whole Irene Rising thing, because she is a lawyer.
Oh, okay, of course. I keep forgetting she's a lawyer.
I know. I'm looking at your face, going, did you watch this episode?
I never see her at work.
No. No, she's never at work. She's never at the lawyer's office. She's always, same with Toadie as well. He never goes to work. He might put a shirt on, but he never goes.
Yeah, interesting. So, I feel like, though, there's going to be some sort of relationship with Mac and him before it blows up, and then he's going to use something of that against her also.
Yeah, maybe. Because, yeah, I think there is, like, she does genuinely like him, and
There is maybe some dirty, you have to admit.
Yeah, unless maybe a bit of daddy issues going on, because her dad is a fucking drip as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe a bit of daddy issues.
Yeah, nice.
Going on there, well, just to throw that into the mix as well.
And so, like, now also that JJ's dad is in jail, like, is he done now? Like, is that it?
Yeah, I think he's done now, I think.
Like, he's gone, that's it now, we're never going to hear about him again. What about the girlfriend?
Yeah, Jules is gone as well.
Oh, so she's done now. That's it. It was just like a guess. It was just guessed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Just guesses. Yeah.
Oh.
I know. I really hope Jules comes back.
I feel like
if you haven't, by the way, this is, I'm just going to plug the show at the moment. So if you haven't listened to our chat with Eva Seymour, who plays Jules, or our chat with Riley, or our chat with Lloyd, who plays Andy Rodwell, they're all on our Patreon page. You can go on there. You can listen for free. If you want to watch it, it's going to cost you £1, but you can go on there and listen to free. I should also mention as well, a little bit more admin, that our back catalogue has been seized at the moment by the police. So on our podcast feed, there isn't anything with Adam on there at the moment. But again, they can't seize our Patreon. So £1 a month will get you access to all of that.
That's suspect. He's gone.
How's that?
He's gone, and then all things of him have gone off the internet.
That is quite suspicious, isn't it? Not of me though. I'm surely blame free.
That's very suspicion free. That's very suspect. This is like Easter eggs, you know, that like Taylor Swift leaves for people, for her fans to try and guess shit about her life or the next album or what's coming.
Oh god, yeah, everyone's gone mad about her album last week. There's been people camping outside pubs in London.
It's not
because
good.
Apparently she refers to a certain pub that she met like Matty Healy in from the 1975, and there's all sorts of speculation going on. Mm-hmm. I love Taylor Swift, by the way. I'm just gonna put my cards on the table right now.
I don't couldn't think of anything worse. But back, don't try and deflect. Back to Adam. So I'm just thinking, and like, you know, like when a celebrity deletes all their Instagram and doesn't follow anyone more, and then they're like, oh, something big's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So this is potentially what's happening here.
Well, something big's gonna happen.
Hmm.
Something big has happened. I've got you as my co-host now.
Yay!
Yeah. Former Neighbours star Marissa.
Yeah.
Who's a co-host on this show.
Yeah, I also was on the Saddle Club too, so don't discount that.
Well, no, yeah, you were on the Saddle Club, but then you did fuck them off for Neighbours.
I did. And they sent me a letter and they said, you'll never work again. And here I am, not working again in this town.
To be fair to them, they were fucking right.
They were. I mean, in hindsight, they were right. That was something I wasn't expecting. But now for £1 a month, or two, is it £2? £1 a month. You know,
yeah,
I'm working again.
And yeah, if we start moving into the profits, you can get a cut of that. So that's paid work. You can get your Actors Guild stuff back and everything.
I was going to say, yeah, do I get back in the union?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'll officially class, yeah.
Oh, actually, though, my brother was saying last week, because I can watch, like, I can obviously watch episodes of myself of, like, on Saddle Club and stuff on streaming services. Like, would I be entitled to royalties?
I don't know. But who was your agent back then?
I don't know. I can't remember. They're non-existent. And then my mum took over because they were ripping us off.
Well, I'd be asking questions to your mum right now.
Yeah, imagine she's just being like getting the checks at home.
Yeah, just not mentioning. She's
like, oh, I wonder if you're getting royalties. I'm not sure. And they're going to this, they've just been on 5 holidays to Vegas.
Where can you watch Saddle Club, by the way?
On Stan.
In Australia.
On Stan.
Stan.
Yeah, that's where we've been watching it lately. And yeah, so it's good. It's good. Just season one I'm in. Don't worry about the other seasons.
Yeah, I imagine it drops off a cliff after that.
Yeah.
Pretty massively.
Wouldn't even bother watching it after that. It's terrible. Nah, it's great. It's great. It's good. It's a good show.
I know your daughter's enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. She's like 2.5 and I was like, oh, we'll just see if you even know. Do you even know stuff? And she watched it and didn't know. And then I was like, that's mom. And she's like, no, like, that's me and my sister. I'm like, no, that's me. It's mom. Like, you're not on TV. I was on TV. And so now she knows which one I was. And so every time I come on, she's like, that's mom. Where's mom? Like, where's mom? More mom. So I'm like, oh, yeah, she gets it. But I don't think she still registers.
No, but I'm glad that you went right. She's 2.5 now. She needs to know I was a big deal.
Yeah, like, you know, you need to love me.
if you don't love me for being mum now, love me for these things instead.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, oh, because I kind of like, I really love doing themed birthday parties.
Okay.
And like, and with a pun though, like it has to have a pun.
Okay.
So like for my daughter's first birthday, she had a berry first birthday party. And so it was like, everything was kind of
not
like
the strongest pun. Not gonna lie,
but it was like berry, like it was like a berry, like in the party favors. We made jam, and it had like her face on the label, like it was very like, you know, whatever. Anyways, and then so for Pia's second birthday, it was Oh Toodles, because she was really into Mickey Mouse Funhouse, and they say Oh Toodles on the show, so it was like Oh Toodles. Anyway,
is that like their version of Oh Shit?
No, it's like the magic word. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Come on, get with it. And
sorry, I missed all this. Sorry.
And for Pia's first birthday, we forced her to get into Pokemon. And so she was Pikachu.
All right, I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And so this year, I was like, oh, if we force her into Saddle Club, we could do Hello World, This Is 3. Like, because, you know, the song is Hello World, This Is Me. But I could do Hello World, This Is 3. but she wants a Cat in the Hat themed birthday party. So
Cat in the Hat.
So I think we're going to do Thing 2 is Turning 3. Do you get it?
Okay, yeah. That's not as strong as the other one, but
it's not, but this is all I have to work with.
Yeah, you're doing the best with what you can.
Yeah, but I still have, like, another daughter. She'll be 2 this year. So next year I can get her into Saddle Club as well, and we could do Hello World, This Is 3.
Yeah.
For the second one.
We use all the same outfits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
yeah, all the paper plates, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. So we're just working through, you know, that's my creative outlet now.
Well, you also have this now as well.
Yeah, I do. And I can come on here and bounce these ideas off you the people might come in also and give me other better ideas.
Yes. And if you do want to chat about those ideas, Patreon, £1 a month.
Yeah, I'm going to sign up now so that I can then be involved in the chats.
Okay. I'm going to actually need to see you do that, though, to be honest.
Is it like an app? Is it an app?
Yeah, you can get an app on your phone, yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. App Store. Patreon. Wait a minute. Patreon. I've never heard of it. It sounds like a scam.
It's not a scam. It is. Yes. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It's got, yeah, it's like the big kind of P.
Blob. It's like Carl's.
Big
shit.
Blobby P.
I'm imagining that's what it's looking like.
Yeah. Okay. I like this because it's a live demonstration of how easy it can be done. If Marissa can do it, then you all can do it as well.
I'm just opening it up.
Yeah, just open it up.
Continue with an email address.
Yeah, you've got to do all that kind of stuff.
@.com.
If you are a patron, by the way, this would probably be a good time in the podcast to maybe just start chatting amongst yourselves. Send a couple of messages. I'm not editing this out. I want the whole experience in.
Okay, so I've made myself a name. So now I'm looking. Lovely. I'm finding a creator, yeah?
Yes.
Neighborhood. The Neighborhood Rewatch. There it is. You probably
firing straight away. First one.
Become a member. That's my bag. $2 a month. Join.
Yeah, that's my bag.
That's a bag.
Stupid joke. That's a stupid joke from about 6-7 years ago when me, Adam, and Tim were on a plane. We were on like a cheapo European.
7 days free.
Yeah, 7 days free. So you can listen to all the shit and then just bounce.
Oh.
No money has to exchange hands.
I'd be silly not to. All right.
Yeah, that's my bag thing. Me, Adam, and Tim were on a cheapo European flight from Greece to Manchester years ago. And one of the staff members had rang in sick. So like, listen, there's not enough staff for amount of passengers on this plane. So some people need to leave. And then like, there was this big standoff of people who need to leave. Like, we're like, we'll put you on a different flight. We'll fucking fly you to here and then get you a taxi from here to there. And then they needed three people as well. And me, Adam, and Tim are all looking at each going, fucking hell, there's three of us. And I'm like, no, I'm not getting on a different flight and then getting a taxi from London to Manchester. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So we stood our ground and we stayed on the plane. But then they had to do a bag check to make sure that no bags had been left behind. So they literally went through the whole carriage and hold it up. And then you had to say the words, that's my bag.
That's my bag.
And because we were probably pretty drunk, I was going through a pretty rough time, to be honest, as well. So I've been drinking heavily on this holiday.
Oh, I hope you're okay.
Oh, no, it's fine. To be honest, that holiday was the making of me. It was Adam and Tim would call it an intervention of me and my life at that point.
In Greece?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
It was us sitting around a pool and then two going, you need to start doing this. You need to start doing that. You can't carry on doing this.
I could not think of a better intervention than in Greece.
It was a nice intervention. Obviously I didn't listen to him and then went and did my own stuff, but it did make me think about things and then turn my life in a different direction.
I'm so glad for you. That's so nice.
Yeah, thank you. Look at me now.
All right, so I'm on it.
Yes, you're signed up.
Yep. Where am I chatting? Where's the chats?
So I think it's down to the bottom on the left. Well, it is on my phone anyway. There's a little kind of bubbly button.
Okay, I have no chat.
Okay, maybe because you've just joined it, but you can say hi everybody and then people will start chatting with you. You can do that. That's how long it took. A couple of minutes.
Start messaging. Long enough for me to turn. Is that what do I start messaging you?
Yeah, you can message me, yeah.
But is that a group chat or is that just to you?
Yeah, it's like a group chat. So all the patrons can access that chat. Testing.
Okay, I'm just sending it.
Excellent. There we go. It's that easy. All it does is a couple of minutes. I tell a long-winded story. Well, I actually don't get to the point of the story either. The reason it's called That's My Bag is because they had to hold it up. And because I was quite drunk and we're all a bit giddy, by the time it came to us, we could not say the words, "That's my bag."
I love that.
Absolutely killing ourselves.
I love it.
And everybody tied to every time before us, someone said, "That's my bag," we just laughed. And it got louder and louder and louder.
I feel like it was a you have to be there moment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah,
but I'm glad that I'm being a part of it now.
Thank you. And I'm so where the fuck were we?
I just signed up to Patreon.
You signed up to Patreon.
Now Patreon. And,
oh yeah, so Mackenzie, she's like, she's the target of Wade now. So Wade shows the big plan. Like, listen, you fucked me over. I'm fucking you over. You've got nothing left here. So come join me. I'm setting up a new business where we just do this shit, but like we're going to rob banks and stuff.
What a great idea.
It is a great idea.
I kind of don't like how he's shown his whole plan though.
Yeah, it was very Bond villain. I'm going to explain to you my plan while stroking this cat and while you work away the ties behind you on the chair.
Yeah.
And get away from this situation.
And I'm guessing that has recorded everything he said and he's just going to go straight to the police.
Yeah, a few people on the Patreon have said that as well.
And then it's just going to be dead in the water. And you've got all that kind of groundwork with this great storyline and it's just ended.
Yeah, because Byron gives him this rallying talk saying, listen, you can't take that offer. You need to face up to what you've done. Be a man. Go to jail if you have to. And then you'll still have me as a friend after
it all.
But
I feel like he wouldn't need to go to jail. Like, he didn't do anything.
He went to Andy. He called Andy around and went, listen, mate, I could go to the police station or I'd just get you to come around to my house. So Andy just goes around to his house.
It's all very unprofessional.
It is. I feel so bad for Andy. He is so overworked, that poor man.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got broken ribs still, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He broke his ribs last week or the week before.
He's doing house calls, isn't he, on like stress leave? Or
yeah, he's not been off the job at all. He's constantly getting phone calls. And Carl's going, where are you about the shitter? And he's like, fucking working on it. Where are you about the robbery? I'm fucking working on it. Where are you about this hacking? I'm fucking working on it, even though I'm meant to be at home resting because I broke my ribs.
He'd be at one worker's comp.
Yeah, probably, but I'd still like to just fucking chill for a bit. Watch a bit of TV and just actually relax. Yeah. I've never had a broken rib. I've never broke any bones. But I imagine it's quite painful and sore.
It would be. I think ribs, like sometimes you might not even know that you've broken them.
Really?
Mm. And they just have to heal by themselves. You just have to get on with it.
There's a lot of that with broken bones, isn't there? There's just like, just kind of put some on it so it goes straight and just hope it heals for the best.
When I was, I probably told this story already, but when I was on Neighbours, we used to skateboard a lot and I fractured my wrist skateboarding in between takes and then they banned skateboarding on set.
Did they have to write it into the show or did you just not show your hand?
Nah, like it just, it was kind of, it was fine. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, okay. Can you do any cool stuff with it now?
My wrist.
With your wrist? Yeah.
No. I can do this at work typing.
It's not stopped you signing up to Patreon, so that's good.
And I can sign up to Patreon still, so
yeah, true. Can you still skateboard?
No, I haven't for ages, but like Kyle, who was Boyd on the show, he taught me like how to do like little kick, like click clips, and how to go downstairs, like stairs, like and jump off gutters and shit. It was really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. And then,
if someone handed you a skateboard tomorrow, could you do it?
Probably not, but I'd try.
You'd try.
I would definitely try and see if I had it because I haven't been on one since. I've not seen a skateboard in fucking years.
Mm. Yeah, they're not as popular as I think like early 2000s was like you were hitting skateboarding right at the peak, wasn't it?
E-scooters, yeah. Everyone's on a fucking e-scooter.
Yeah, everyone's in. Yeah, we've got a lot of that going around the city.
Fuck off. Lots of e-scooters already.
With speakers on the back as well. Some people are like, there was a guy the other day I saw who had like a big boom box round his neck, and he was on an e-scooter just going down the street.
That's good. Actually, the other day I come home and there was two e-scooters in our driveway, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? And we had visitors and they arrived on e-scooters.
Really? Are you no longer friends with these
close people? By. And then I was like, oh, wow, like they looked pretty cool. And like one had like a lock on it, so like you can't, no, like they can't be stolen. Like it was pretty cool.
Yeah. We used to, we did have like a, I'm pretty sure there's a scheme in Manchester where you can like those public kind of ones. So you like, you drop them off and pick them up, but they abandoned it because we just ruined them.
Bikes. Actually, no, in Melbourne, they've got them as well, I think. Yes, because we went there and we were going to like, we thought, oh, wouldn't it be funny? I'm like, no, I'll probably fall over and die. It's just, and we're paying for it too, which is weird.
You're paying for the privilege of breaking a bone.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, we had them in Manchester, but we, as a city, we decided to start like chucking them in lakes and stuff. So I think they took it away.
We've had a lot of injuries. People have like had a lot of accidents on them because there'll be like holes in the road or something in a bump in the thing, and they just go boop.
Yeah. And
or they're drunk while they're doing it, which is silly because then they end up
being very silly.
Accidentes.
Is there not? There's no way to police that, though, is there? I suppose, really.
Well, it's just like these stupid bicycles. They give them more freaking things than, you know, people paying Reggio to be on the fucking road in their cars. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've just had a car insurance. I have had a car insurance quote come through.
Oh, how expensive.
They've just gone, I'm 41, right? I'm a 41-year-old man, married with two children. And the insurance went, yeah, you're going to need a black box in your car. I was like, I've got 12 years, no claims. Like, what about me don't you trust?
What's a
black box? I was like, right. Oh, so like it literally monitors your driving. So it's a little black box that connects Bluetooth to your phone and it monitors your driving. What? And then it gives you a score on your driving, right?
What, and so then do they base their quote off of that? Or is that
so consistently, I've had a great score in the 90s. It's out of 100. Consistently in the 90s, the whole time. Wow. The only thing they mark me down on braking, but that's because dickheads just come out of nowhere.
Do they do that for every person they're quoting or only specific people?
I don't know. I feel like it was targeted against me.
That's crazy. I can't believe they could do that. So, that's not, they don't do that here.
So I've had this for a year now, pretty much like it's due by the end of the month. And they've sent me a quote and go, yeah, you had great driving last year. Extra £300 though. I was like, what's the fucking point of me driving? Yeah. I could have just dropped like a dickhead and got faster to places all year.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, ours is the same here. Even house insurance is just off its head. Off its head. I can't even. I can't. It's something for the shower, to be honest.
Right, let's start wrapping. Let's get this storyline finished, and then we can get you in the shower you can rant about stuff. All right.
This is just. I mean, you might say this sort of shit to Adam. That's fine.
You did. Oh, by the way, you mentioned before you went, oh, are you watching him in the shower? I just want to categorically say now I am not watching him in the shower.
Good, good, good.
Like just to make that clear. Adam, on the other hand. This grand plan is that if Haz doesn't join, he's going to ruin Mackenzie and her career. And so Byron gives him this talk. And you think Haz has listened. You think he's listened. But no, he's not. He says, okay, there's nothing left for me here. You've ruined everything. I'm part of your team. And that was the cliffhanger for the week. So you think he's wearing a wire?
I think he's spoken to Andy and he's going to like be undercover and blow up the whole operation.
You think so? Back.
And then this will give him immunity. He won't have to go and do jail time so he can stay in the show.
See, well, I'm going to drop something fairly exclusive here. I'm not going to reveal my source. However, I've heard on very good authority that this is his exit storyline.
Oh, is he booting?
Yeah. So I think he may just go off. Yeah, I think this might all be genuine and he's just like, yeah, fuck this, I'm off. Mm. Let's go rob some banks with AI and deepfakes.
Oh, wow.
Are you worried about AI? Just to finish off? Are you worried about it massively? Yes. How so? How are you worried about it?
I read this article. Like, I mean, it's like, I just, the amount of perverted things that they can do with it is just really scary, especially with like kids on social media. Yeah. There was a story in some European country, somebody got like done for doing some sort of weird shit with it. And I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's just really scary what they can do with it.
Very true. My worry is that like it's going to get so sophisticated you can't tell what's what.
Well, this is the thing, yeah. And then there's also going to just eliminate a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of jobs away from people. Like, I've pretty much regretted my entire career and my choice of career for the last 20 years, but I do look at it and go, fucking well, at least AI is not making a coffee for me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not recommended. It's not pouring a wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I have somehow future-proofed my own.
Yeah. Without you even realizing it, you've made the smartest decision.
I know.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I just, it is like, it's scary, I think. And it's kind of highlighting how much safety you need to, like, how much you need to protect yourself on the internet.
Yes. But don't worry, you're nice and safe on the Patreon.
I mean, people are paying, so.
Right, I think that does it for this week. Marissa, thank you very much. Any other predictions before you go for next week?
I think I've predicted quite a bit already.
You've predicted a little bit already. Anything you'd like to see next week?
I just want to see more, like, I just want to see more, variety.
Yeah, I'd like to see Toadie rock up back next week, actually, even though I don't like Toadie.
Yeah, I just want to see. I feel like this week was a little bit mundane. Like, I feel like it was a bit blur, the storylines, like, and just a bit flat for the whole week. I just want to see a bit more, like, just more people.
Would you?
More, like, more connections, different ones. I'm sick of seeing the same people doing the same shit in every single freaking house.
Yeah. Would you another big storyline? I think, like, it kind of ebbs and flows, I think. Like, we have a couple of big storylines, a couple of weeks where everything bubbles under and then it kind of builds to something.
Yeah. Again, so. Can't wait to see, though, what happens for Dex.
Yeah. I want a storyline for him. Let's get Dex a storyline.
Yeah. Let's get him a baby mama or something.
Let's get teenage him pregnancy.
Let's get him something. You know, he's been the good child. He's going to start going off the rails now.
Exactly. It's Dex's time.
Let's find his dad.
Yeah, because they've not really mentioned anything about that at all. So, yeah, let's give him something. Hopefully we'll get something next week. And we'll see you next week, Marissa.
Yes, you will. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Just be careful. If you're out eating ice creams with friends, just be careful, because there is a big spate of that going on at the moment.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Join the Neighbourhood Rewatch Patreon for £1 a month, which is the equivalent of about 3 cents every day. You're paying essentially nothing for essentially everything. Join it.